1996, we played Carolina in the NFC Championship game at Lambeau Field. The game ends, and the PA announcer says, "Ladies and gentlemen, the Green Bay Packers are going to the Super Bowl." And I tell you what, every place you looked in this stadium, in the stands and the private boxes and the club seats, people are jumping and hugging and crying. And I never saw so much happiness in one place in my life. And I thought, who deserves it more than these people after what they've put up with and how they thought this was never going to happen again? And it's happening. And just to have that moment to return glory and championships to this franchise was just unbelievable. I could never replace that day. With all the great things that have happened, I could never replace the joy in this town and in this stadium. And people just didn't want to leave. It was a cold, cold day. And people just refused to leave. And it was as emotional as I've ever been in my life to go out and receive that. This wasn't the Super Bowl. It was just the NFC Championship, but we were going to the Super Bowl. And what it meant to this little town, what it meant to the National Football League was just enormous, just enormous.
Bob Harlan was a perfect figure at the perfect time to lead the organization, but you knew he was a genuine person too. I mean, he had leadership, he had mentorship, he was a consensus builder, he had the ability to make a tough decision. But through it all, he was just this great person.
Well, there are a number of things that I think contribute to great leadership. Clearly, passion is an important one. You have to have, as a leader, a passion for the business that you're in, the company you work for. That's very, very important. And I think it's interesting, because it's one of the things I feel about the Green Bay Packers is that passion. You have to have the ability to be passionate about something.
For somebody as successful as Bob, to have him as approachable as he really is and had been all throughout his career here in Green Bay is very unique. He is just incredibly approachable and cares so much, not only about the Packers, but he would care about you as a family. He would care about your kids. He'd care about the general business economy. He would care about, you know, the community involvement part of his job. Just an amazing person.
I grew up in Des Moines. My father ran a trucking company and wanted me to go into business with him. He wanted me to go to college and major in business and take over the firm someday. And I simply didn't have an interest in it. From the time I was about 9 or 10 years old, I wanted to be a sports writer. I went to Marquette to major in journalism. And when I graduated, I got a call from Marquette offering me the job as sports information director. And this is something I'd never really thought about, the PR angle and everything. But I thought, well, you know, let's try it and see how it works out. And I did that for 6 years, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Then I got a call from the St. Louis Baseball Cardinals and wanted to know if I'd come down for an interview. And I met an individual in Chicago for an interview, and 2 days later I flew into St. Louis, and they offered me the job. And again, I was very fortunate. The big problem with baseball was I had a wife and 3 little boys, and I was never home. All the games were at night. I traveled with the team. And fortunately, I got a call from the Green Bay Packers. And how that happened is Dan Devine had taken over in Green Bay as head coach and general manager in 1971. And he called my boss in Green Bay, who he knew from having coached at Missouri, just down the road from the Cardinals, and said, "I'm looking for somebody to come in and do some paperwork for me and maybe handle a few contracts and things like that." And my boss was good enough. He called me and said, "Do you want me to put your name in?" So I did, and I was hired, fortunately enough. And my wife and I thought, well, we'd been at Marquette 6 years. We'd been in St. Louis 5 years. We'll probably be here for 5 or 6 years. And now I've just finished my 45th year. So we decided to stay. I think the first person I met when I walked through the locker room in Green Bay was Bart Starr. And when I was working at Marquette University in the 60s, I mean, the Packers were winning 5 world championships. I mean, I idolized Bart Starr and what this franchise meant and what a treat it was. And he was such a gentleman to me, so kind to me. And I thought, how lucky am I? The president of the Packers, I've always thought, was you don't own the team. You don't you didn't put any money into the team. You're the caretaker of the franchise. And that was always foremost in my mind, that I've got to keep making it better and better and better and better, because I salute the people who preceded me. The toughest decision I had to make, I think, was to leave Milwaukee. Because if Green Bay had not had Milwaukee and its fans years ago, we couldn't have survived in this little town. We needed Milwaukee. We needed those fans to support us.
I think another quality of leadership is having guts, you know, being somewhat fearless, because you're called upon to make big decisions sometimes, often in the face of dissension or opposition. You also have to be open-minded about that, too, and you have to listen to opposing points of view. But in the end, a lot of decisions that are made as a result of someone's passion, someone's emotion, someone's instinct.
We were leaving about $2.5 million on the table every year by playing those games in Milwaukee. And every time our treasurer would report this to the board, I just see these eyeballs getting so big, and I thought, you know, we've got to do something. We've got to get out of there.
Bob had that big decision to make regarding Milwaukee, realized that playing games down there was leaving money on the table, so to speak. And it was a needed decision, but not necessarily a popular one.
So what I did is I thought, we'll make the move only if we can bring the fans with us.
What a way to leave Milwaukee. The last ever game here at County Stadium.
The fans were unsure, and that's putting it kindly. But when everyone started coming to games here, they realized that it's a much better experience here.
I think that, you know, experience of going to Lambeau was taking it all in, going to the stores that are there and eating the food and watching the game and watching the fans watch the game. I love that.
So that was a huge step, and it worked out. So I think people had a sense Bob was leading this organization into a new era. Certainly things were more competitive across the league, and financially you needed to be in a position to compete there. And he started making those decisions.
I started here in 71, and this was right after Vince Lombardi had departed in 1968. And we just couldn't get over the hump. We couldn't find a way to put anything together to be successful. I mean, our fans were losing hope. For 24 years, we were mired in mediocrity. We had 4 winning seasons and 2 playoff appearances. And so we needed to find a football person to make football decisions. When I went looking for someone, I knew Ron Wolf was the person I wanted, and I knew what he wanted to hear. And the only way we'd get somebody like Ron Wolf was to tell him, Ron, you've got total, full authority. And I promised him personally when I talked to him, you'll have absolutely no interference from our board of directors or our executive committee. So I talked to Ron on the phone. I says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fax you your title, years of your salary, all of your responsibilities, and then I'd like to talk on the phone. And I sent it to him on a Friday afternoon. He called me first thing Saturday morning. He says, Bob, I think we've got a deal.
An ability to delegate usually emanates from being capable of trusting people, putting talented people in the right jobs, and trusting them to do the right thing.
So I go to the press box on Sunday in Atlanta. Ron comes in about a half an hour before kickoff, puts his briefcase down next to me, and he says, Bob, I'm going to go watch Atlanta's backup quarterback. If his arm is still as strong now as it was when he was coming out of college, we're going to make a trade for him. He says, are you okay with that? I said, Ron, I told you, it's your team to run. I'm not going to interfere with it. So Ron leaves. First thing I do is take the flip card to find out who Atlanta's backup quarterback is. I thought his name was Favre, which it turned out to be the greatest trade in the history of the Green Bay Packers and probably one of the top 5 trades in the history of the National Football League. Ron came in and fortunately for us, did exactly what he needed to do. He had to make some drastic moves. And he wasn't afraid to make them. And if he made a mistake, he'd be the first one to admit it.
I remember the trade for Reggie Lloyd. You know, that was big, really big. I could see the excitement of getting a player of that type. Everybody in the whole office was just so excited.
It's all football here. And, you know, and I think a lot of them appreciated that. It's football, football. The thing that convinced Reggie White, for example, Reggie was touring the country when he was a free agent. And he'd go into places and they'd have parades and blow up balloons, and they were giving his wife Sarah fur coats and everything. He came to town to Green Bay, and Ron Wolf and Mike Holmgren took him to a little restaurant, and, you know, they sat and talked football. And Ron said, all we did was talk football to a football player. But then Ron walked him into the stadium after lunch. And he said, as we walked into the stadium, he said, I looked up and I said, see those names on the rim of the stadium? We have all the players up there with coaches who are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He says, you know, Reggie, you're going to be a star no matter where you go. But you come to Green Bay and you're going to be a legend. And Reggie White's name is now up there.
You knew that Bob had hired Ron Wolf for a reason, and Bob was smart enough to make sure that he, A, hired the right people, and you see that today as well, and then, B, to let them make the decisions that he's paying them to make, because in the days previous that he was still as part of that administration, you didn't see that. The administration got involved in some of those decisions. And there were some dark days through the 80s and the early 90s and certainly the 70s here in Green Bay with not a lot of winning. And since 92, the Packers have had a very, very good winning percentage.
He brought winning back to this organization. And then Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson have followed it up. And now after going through 24 years where we had five winning seasons and two playoff appearances, now we've gone through 24 years where we've had 20 winning seasons, 18 playoff appearances, and two Super Bowl victories. It's been a wonderful thing to see for a wonderful city and a wonderful franchise.
You're required as a leader to be open-minded about the changes that are going on all around you. And so in order to move businesses forward, in order to take risks, to do sometimes what's necessary to drive your business forward, you have to have guts. It's a big deal.
In 1999, we were faced with a very difficult financial situation. And it all started in 1992 when Camden Yards opened in Baltimore. And everybody in sports found out you can build these great retro stadiums with the private boxes, the club seats, the team stores, the restaurants, and greatly increase your local revenue. And once Camden Yards opened, everybody in football, basketball, and baseball jumped on the bandwagon and started going for a new stadium. And every time in the NFL a team would move into a new stadium, it would jump ahead of the Packers in revenue. We were ninth in the league in revenue in 97 when we won the Super Bowl. 3 years later, we were 20th. We were headed for the bottom of the league. So we decided we needed to do something drastic.
Fans could see that Lambeau Field, while beloved because of what it was and the simple nature of it, it did have some, you know, physical, structural needs for upgrades and needed a little TLC here and there.
Every time this franchise got in trouble, the fans found a way to step forward and save the franchise with stock sales. That's where these stockholders come from.
And we had a tremendously successful sale. But after that, realized that what we could put into it then was not going to be enough and something bigger needed to be done.
We feel that it's important that we inform as many people as possible about why we think we need to do this.
He just knew it had to be done, and he knew it wasn't going to be easy, but he was pretty passionate about it, that he knew that for us to survive here, we had to do that.
So we set out in 1999 to make plans. What can we do with this stadium to enhance our revenues and keep us competitive with the other teams? And so we made the decision what we want to do is have a stadium that has been open 10 days a year, basically, for 8 regular season games and 2 preseason games, to a stadium that's open 365 days a year. So we sat down with a lot of different people to talk about what can we do to make it attractive for 365 days. We came up with the idea of this atrium. And in the atrium, you needed your highlights. And so we moved our team store, which had been very successful, but very small since we opened it in 1988, We put in a new restaurant, called it Curly's Pub, and brought the Packers Hall of Fame into the stadium itself. So what we did is we went out on a referendum, an 8-month referendum, and we ran into a lot of backlash in Madison with the politicians because they had just gone through Miller Park in Milwaukee. They kept saying, you know, we hate stadiums so much. Wait a year and come back and see us. And we said, we simply can't. We're falling so fast. We're going to be at the bottom of the league in revenue. It's going to be, we'll never catch up to a Jerry Jones in Dallas, for example. We'll never catch up to a Wellington Mara in New York. We can't compete. We're falling too fast and too far. And we made 15 trips to Madison to talk to the politicians. And every time I would tell them the story, I'd say, I know you're fed up with stadiums. I know you're upset about Miller Park. But here's where we're different. We're going to go to a referendum and let people vote on it. If they vote it down, we're done. And if we win the referendum, then we can take off. Finally, they relented and let us go ahead in 2000. If they had not, the vote would have been scheduled for September the 11th, 2001, 9/11. You can imagine people getting up in the morning to go vote on a football stadium, turning on the television and seeing that two aircraft had flown into the World Trade Center. The stadium would have died that day.
He went door to door during the referendum period. He was pretty worn out after that. I just remember that because it was hard on him, you know, going out and begging for money, you know, begging the people to say, you know, yes, we need to do this. We need to renovate that stadium and bring it up to the standards of the league. So it was a rough period for him, you know, to go out and do that, but it was worth it.
The anti-stadium people kept saying, they've got a plan B. Vote no, they've got a plan B. We did not have a plan B. We were talking survival of the franchise, and people would not believe that. I went to a factory one day at 5 in the morning to meet people coming to work, and the CEO of the company says, Bob, I'll stand out on that curb with you. That'll help you. And this is about 4 days before the vote. The very first person coming by is a woman. And so I reached out to her as she came by and I said, I hope you'll vote for Lamo. And she says, don't you dare touch me. She says, you people are crazy. And she walked away. And the CEO said, I can't believe this. I said, don't worry about it. We've been going through this for 8 months. We're used to it, you know. But that's how ugly it was. Madeline and I were sitting at home the night of the vote. I got a quick call from one of the members on their staff saying, Bob, it looks great in the outlying districts. The vote looks very good. About 5 minutes later, he calls me back and says, Bob, we were wrong. He said, it's not looking good. And so I said to Madeline, we got to get over to the stadium. We gathered in the PR department, and for a long time, it was very iffy. I mean, even at the finish, it was iffy at 53-47. But finally, they said, you're going to win it.
As you look at Lambeau Field today, thinking what an incredible, it is the best stadium in the NFL, maybe in the country, and it wouldn't be here without Bob.
I don't know what we would have done, quite honestly. And as the mayor said, he said, I think this franchise would have just folded up. And that weighed on me. Of course it weighed on me. It's on my watch. It was my responsibility to get this stadium done. Can't tell you how relieved I was the night it happened. I mean, I truly was.
I think the fact that they're a people's team also goes a long way. But I think there's something about the Packers and that experience in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and the fact that it's a small market and a team that everyone has a sense of ownership.
Our fans are so super and so loyal. I mean, even as I talk about those 24 years where we were mediocre, I'll take you back and say since 1960, every game at Lambeau Field has been sold out. That's how loyal they are. They put up with us all those years.
The Packers are different. How many times do you hear an announcer say, only in Green Bay? And I think it's the people and what we have here.
There's a uniqueness here that you don't have any other place in this league. And it's because of the small town. It's because of the ownership. I used to think when we were going through that referendum, what happens to this town if this team doesn't exist?
Green Bay without the Packers is don't know what it would be like to live here without the Packers. There are a lot of people, a lot of families that kept the Packers in Green Bay, and Bob is certainly in the top five.
There's great devotion to it. It means so much to them. It's more than just a football team. It's the city of Green Bay. It's this community.
Mr. Harlan is truly the definition of class. Just a classy, approachable, very, very well-liked person in Green Bay. And Green Bay is fortunate to get him.
I will always remember him just being so personable.
People really appreciated calling him your boss, your coworker, and really a friend, a very true friend.
Do what you want to do. Be your own person. Don't change. Give it every ounce of energy that you've got. Be ready for ups. Be ready for downs. When Vin Scully signed off after doing 67 years of Dodgers baseball, I thought one of his closing lines was so apropos. And he quoted Dr. Seuss. And he says, "Don't be sad because it's over. Smile because it happened."
I think it's time, Terry, that the Lombardi Trophy goes home to Lambeau Field where it belongs.